Tonight is about each other. Tonight is about relentless football. And if they're about to touch the football, they get knocked out tonight. Let's do what we do best on three. One, two, three.
It's simple. When God is for you, who can be against you? It's no greater way as a champ to go out on your last ride with the men that I went out with my teammates, and you look around this stadium, and Baltimore, Baltimore,
welcome everybody, welcome to The Call, a very special Super Bowl champion edition of The Call. I'm Brando, you can follow me on Twitter at BrandoCash. Joining me as always, he's actually got a voice today, we got my buddy Josh. What's going on, man?
What's going on, Ravens Nation, Brandon fans? How you doing? It's Italian GQ52, none other than Josh. Super Bowl champions, like Ray said, we're coming home, baby, and it's home, baby. That thing looks nice and shiny. Number two for Baltimore. This is incredible, man. This is incredible.
What a Sunday. What a week it's been. I think today might be the first day that people are actually off of that high of actually winning the Super Bowl in the town. And
I don't think we'll ever get off the high. No, I think we're first day back to work.
Yeah, this is unbelievable. It's a great time to be from Baltimore, in Baltimore, anywhere involved with the city. But, man, what a ride it has been this year. What a ride it has been since Sunday. The Ravens, Super Bowl champions, hit a couple roadblocks along the way, but nothing could stop this team. They did everything that they had to do to get the job done, and they brought Lombardi home to Baltimore like everybody knew that they could, and it's just been an amazing week so far. Let's just go over some of the festivities going on around town. First off, big parade happened on Tuesday. You were there. I tried to get downtown. I couldn't even get downtown to see it, so I stayed home and watched it on TV. But over 200,000 people were downtown, either on the parade route or at M&T Bank Stadium. And they actually had to close M&T Bank Stadium because they were at capacity. And then people started scaling the walls of the stadium to get in. What passion by the fans. But Josh, you were actually there. You were at the parade, at the stadium. What was it like downtown?
Oh my God. I'm just choked up. It was just pure raw emotion. And just to be part of that, obviously, you know, I was young, you know, I was 14 years old when we won the first one, so I didn't get a chance to experience it like I do now. And obviously, I'm drawn closer to the team since then. And just to tell you what now, Brandon, I don't know what time you woke up to get down there, but our hardcore group of soldiers, I woke up at 3:30 in the morning. We were at the front gate by 5 a.m., touching the front gate. We were first in line, bro.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, we don't play around. This is go hard or go home, right? Ravens Nation.
Well, you see, I'm not – you know where I live. I'm not that far away from downtown. I'm like a 15-minute drive, if that, on 95. So I left my house at like 8 o'clock. And it took me like 45 minutes just to get to one exit. And I'm like, you know what? This isn't a good sign. This isn't a good way to start. I think I'm just going to enjoy the parade from the comfort of my own man cave on my couch. So,
which isn't a bad idea. It's just we knew going in, and I have to thank my buddy Ryan for, you know, putting this out there. I was going to go late. He's like, dude, there's going to be like 20,000 people around the stadium. So we were like, screw it. We got off. This is once a lifetime. I didn't go to New Orleans. This is the closest I'll get to the trophy and the team. So I said, you know what? Let's go. So we got there at 5 a.m. There was maybe a pocket of 10 fans there. They left to go to another gate, and then we moved up. I was actually leaning against gate A on United Plaza at 5 o'clock. I mean, I got pictures. We got Ravens Walk as the sun was coming up, the Super Bowl champions over the Skyline City. The city was lit up purple as you were coming in. It was a big event. And just to be a part of that, and I didn't know it was going to be that crazy, but I'm telling you right now, before even the gates opened, I said, bro, this stadium, wouldn't that be crazy if it's filled to game day capacity, 70,000 people celebrating with the team? And then as I looked at the line, they put the barricades up like game day. And obviously, whoever, I'm sure a lot of fans were out there because it seems like the whole state shut down for the day. I don't think anybody went to work, but there was kids there, there was adults, middle-aged people, and it's just, it was incredible to see the line get bigger. By 8:30, 9 o'clock, Brandon, the line was all the way out the Ravens Walk and beyond, and it was just incredible. It was an atmosphere. We're all chanting, oh, chant, celebrating Super Bowl champions, people holding up signs. We're talking about the game. It was just incredible, and just to be there, and then when they opened the field and the whole play, wow. I have to post videos. I have some sound. Maybe we can try to get on the show. I don't know if we can, Brandon, if we can entwine that. But at the end, when he said, what's our name, and the whole place just chanted Ravens, that gave me chills, bro.
You could feel it no matter where you were. I was watching on TV. You could feel chills, you know, going down your spine as that happened. The thing that you probably didn't see since you were in the stadium, but Ray Lewis, he was the last one in this parade, and he had like a little, like a Hummer tank type of thing. And after he passed, the police just kind of lost control of the crowd, and they just kind of stormed the parade, and they started walking with the parade right behind Ray. So like the barricades didn't work at all. People were hopping over him and doing everything they could to get around the trophy, get around Ray, and it was pretty crazy.
I like that, Brandon. It showed raw emotion. They actually showed the whole parade live on the Jumbotrons, on the Smart Vision boards at the stadium. So really, we were kind of part of the parade. We saw the whole City Hall speech. We saw that. I got that on video. And then, obviously, Harbaugh and Steve Gotti came out to warm us up a little bit as the stadium got filled to capacity. But, I mean, I don't know if anybody listens to Twitter, or not listens to Twitter, but follows Twitter. But I was being interviewed by Goob of Goob Vision. He came out and they interviewed me, and I was just fired up, and I just said something about, you know, the passion's crazy. We love our team. We're celebrating one with the team, and I'm telling you what a treat it was to not only be part of the celebration as one with the team, but how about the passion that Ravens Nation and Baltimore and Maryland alike. We were in line. Get this, Brandon. A guy was there at 5:30 in the morning with us. He was with our group. He's like, come on, you're coming with us. He drove from York, PA.
Oh, wow.
Yes, we have people from Quarryville, PA. True people up there driving up 80 Interstate 83, coming down here. How about the Purple Nation driving down from York, PA at what? Probably he said he woke up at 3 in the morning. He got down there and he was in the city at 5:30 with us in the morning. It just shows you true passion, true heart, and they're like, and they said the same thing. We didn't get to go to New Orleans. What better way to celebrate with the team and the fans the second championship for Baltimore and as far as the Ravens history is concerned, because obviously we're lumping the Colts there, and that's another story for a rainy day. But how about just, you know, celebrating with, you know, the MVP chance when Flacco came out, the two tickets to Paradise with Ari, that was classic. We knew that was going to happen, and it just gave me chills and emotion thinking about it. How about Ray's true last dance out of the tunnel with the grass, the music. He held the Super Bowl trophy high. The crowd went absolutely ballistic because obviously it was over 70,000. It was probably, I would say, 85,000 plus in that stadium. And when he did his dance, that thing went crazy. Even, I don't know if anybody saw that. I don't know if they showed on TV. I'm sure they did. How about him teaching Ed Reed to dance? And then with Jacoby, when he danced after his return, and we'll get to talk about the game in a minute, but how about just the raw emotion of that coming in and the speeches, and wow, it was the most, I'm just going to say this, it was the most epic day in Baltimore sports history. I'll never forget it the rest of my life. And just watching that, how the fans follow them and follow Ray Lewis behind, I'm actually glad the law enforcement officials allowed that to happen. Obviously, nothing really got too crazy or new and got to Ray, thank God, but just allow us to really share in that moment, saying it's the last glimpse of Ray Lewis probably we will see. I mean, not ever, but unless we go to autograph signings and such, and he does public appearances. But just to celebrate with him and his second ring and our second championship and just everybody collaboratively, wow. Like, no words can describe. I have video, just you can hear me in the background. I took a panoramic video of the stadium, and I just said, wow, this is incredible. You can hear me say it. I'm just like, I'm in awe. I stood there. We had the front row. Obviously, we were there early. We had the front row on the 50-yard line. Obviously, it was safe. We were in front of section 152, believe it or not. That's where we were at. So I just knew it was safe. It was just an experience just to get with the fans and just to enjoy it. I mean, there was I mean, the traffic was so bad leaving. We went to Inner Harbor and eat afterwards, and we just made a day of it. It was a 12-hour day. We didn't get home till 5 in the evening, and we were there since 5 in the morning. So it was a true long day, and I mean, the parade itself was beyond words. And I mean, we can go on and on. I heard stories about New Orleans. I know fans that were down there just saying there's nothing like it. Wow. And I mean, we still have a Super Bowl game to break down and get it. And that was even epic of itself. And we have a lot to talk about. And hey, let's get to it, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. I want to say, you did bring it up, Ray Lewis doing his last dance at the stadium and then teaching Ed Reed and Jacoby Jones how to do it. I like that because that was kind of like a send-off almost, like a passing of the torch for that dance. So I don't think the squirrel dance is going to be just never seen again at Ravens Stadium. I think that we're going to see it next season, but just some new people are going to be doing it as they enter the field. So it'll be very interesting to see who picks up that torch, whether it be Ed Reed or Jacoby Jones or even both of them. Who knows? But that was a great, great feeling as a Ravens fan to see that torch passed to those guys by Ray. But let's start talking about the game, man. Super Bowl Sunday. Big parties. Everybody was partying it up. I was having a good time at this local crab house. Can't get any more Maryland than that. This place called Skipjack's. They had a couple TVs. All you could drink, all you could eat, and everybody was having a good time. And first half, very different than the second half. The first half, it looked like the Ravens pretty much sealed this up as a win, but then the second half rolls around after a blackout of all things, and it looks like things were about to fall apart. I don't know about you. I never lost faith. I always knew the Ravens could do this, but it did make me very nervous. It made for a good game because you were on the edge of your seat during that second half.
Well, we have it any other way around here, right?
Exactly. That's just the Ravens' style, man. Like I think Harbaugh said it. We don't win pretty. We don't do anything absolutely perfect, and that's just the way the Ravens are.
I kind of like that. I almost like the fact it wasn't a blowout, and obviously I'm going to break the game down quarter by quarter because there was a lot of little nuances in the game that we needed a little touch on, but just how it started. You know, we start on defense. The Niners looked jittery. We three and out. They were, what, 3rd and 15, 3rd and 12, 3rd and 15. We started with 3 and out. We just knew we set the tone. And just how the game started, you know, we went up 7-0, Flacco again, throwing across the middle that Anquan Boldin. And I don't know if you guys know this. Obviously, we know Flacco's MVP. But if you look on my Twitter and Facebook feeds, as of, I think, around 2 p.m. or so, I did call Joe Flacco MVP of that game. I had a feeling he led us through the whole playoffs. It really was a difference of 2000 where it was more defensive heavy. Yeah, as you see, we had probably one of the best championship defenses of all time, not the best. Now with Flacco passing the torch from Ray, where Ray dubbed him the new general and said, you're going to lead now. And Joe Flacco has just proved us all wrong, all haters alike. And obviously, if you support him, just they know what he's about, what he's capable of. And just how he threw that laser straight to Anquan across the middle. And we went up 7-0. I knew it was something special in Baltimore coming along this game and just the whole game in general. And we just took out with the lead and just it was a great game plan from holding them at bay sometimes. And we knew it was going to be a heavyweight fight because we knew in the second half what the 49ers were capable of. I don't know if you noticed that, Brandon, but it was going back to their championship games where we shut out the Patriots and then they shut out the Falcons. We knew that, hey, we raced out to a big lead. I kind of had a feeling they were going to get a little close. Not the crazy, wacky way it happened, but I knew it was going to be a ball game. I didn't expect a 40-point drubbing. I knew it was going to be I thought it was going to be more 10-point win, which would have been crazy. Wow, just incredible how, you know, Flacco threw that laser to Pitta, how the turnover happened, Ed Reed got a pick. And how about Jacoby Jones, the awareness of getting up on that, and that play reminded me of the Mile High Miracle, how Joe Flacco stepped up, chucked the ball again, and who another than number 12, Jacoby Jones, was on the receiving end, had the awareness to get up, make a great move, and bolt to the end zone and make it a 21-6 game. I knew it was just we're going to take them to the second half.
If anybody, Joe Flacco definitely deserves MVP. I totally agree with that decision, making him MVP, but if anybody comes in a very close second, you got to give it to Jacoby Jones. That guy
absolutely
he played such an amazing game. And here's the funny thing. This, I kept saying this as everything was happening in the Super Bowl to everybody I was partying with. Think about this. The Texans gave away Jacoby Jones. They did not re-sign him because of how bad he was at catching the ball. He couldn't hold on to the ball, and he had bad hands. Look at what he did in Denver with the Ravens, and look what he did in the Super Bowl. Two long balls, and then he ran in and for a touchdown. I mean, this guy, look at what he did with all the hard work he's put in. He's a completely different guy, and if the Texans want to give away a guy like that, man, we'll keep taking him.
Absolutely. It's almost like, look at the pieces that the Texans have, I don't know if it's given us or we've taken from them, but first off, crush boy Bernard Pollard, how about that? And then we had the best fullback in the league, Vontae Leach, and then you're right, Jacoby Jones. We're just taking all the Texans pieces. Hey, if they want to give up Aaron Foster, hey, I don't mind, right?
Right.
I mean, we got Ray Rice, but hey, they're going to give away Andre Johnson. Let's take him at this point. But you just you look at that body of work and the piece. It's almost like 2000 where we added Shannon Sharp. We had Rob Woodson in there. It was just, along with the homegrown talent we had and the draft talent that we have, it was some free agent pieces it brought in. Obviously, Anquan Boldin a few years back, he's coming to his own, and he's been basically flagger started. Torrey Smith, I didn't hear his name much announced in the Super Bowl because they kept him at bay, and I kind of had a feeling that Torrey was going to have a quiet game because of the 49ers defense, and he caught a couple good balls, and you just had that kind of feeling, and just the pieces we've added over and over again, and Dennis Pitta's just Joe Flacco's best friend, and I'm just seriously, I knew something special was going to happen to that day on Sunday when he threw that absolute laser strike to Dennis Pitta. I grabbed my buddy by the shoulders, and I'm just like, number five has the arm. I'm telling you, everybody underestimates what he can do, and you could even make a case for MVP of how about it's Caldwell's offense. How about the difference in Flacco's play since Cameron left? This might be the play of the Super Bowl, besides Jacoby Jones' 108-yard kickoff return, which was epic. I mean, the guy, he had three of them in the regular season, and we just knew what he was capable of. He was going to be the X factor on special teams, and just him breaking through that wedge. And the best part about that was him doing the Ray Lewis dance at the end. How classic was that, man? That was great.
Yeah, that was great. You see, that's why I gotta like Jacoby Jones, man. He's one of the best players we've picked up in years.
Absolutely, and I'm really. And we'll get to the off-season issues later on in our shows, but you know, we hope we can keep him and bring him back. It's just, you just look at the body of work again with the offense, and all pieces were in place. But I'm going to go back to that. I don't know if anybody really knows the play, but it was 3rd and inches. And it was actually the catch that got called back. Anquan got the first down, but they ruled it. He was a little short, and the 49ers challenged and got it right. Flacco, it looks like a run. He got to the line, and he actually checked out of it, and he threw an absolute ball to Boldin to go up and get it. And Boldin, it almost looked like he was just like, Anquan, I trust you. I'm going to rear back and fire. You go up and get it. That was the play. That was a play where you knew Flacco had it. He was MVP, and that's an MVP-type play. And I'm tickled to death. I'm telling you, it's just, people just underestimate him, and we took it to him. And obviously, I'm glad we kind of did. I mean, obviously, would have been devastated if we lost the Super Bowl, but I'm kind of glad we didn't, because the blackout changed the momentum. And I was kind of like, wow. And the longer the wait happened, I knew it was going to change momentum, because I was like, look, I don't know if anybody noticed this, but the Ravens were getting loose. The Niners were game planning. It was almost like they were just like, okay, this is what we're going to do. And they came out swinging. And it just turned the game around where every little thing went wrong, from the missed field goal penalty, roughing the kicker, to the muff punt, to the touchdowns, and then Ray Rice fumbling. It was just, wow, what a turn of events really quickly. But at least we built up enough cushion to where we can keep them at bay. And how true to testament was it that the Rays' last defensive series was a four-down goal-line series to not allow them in the end zone. How epic of a career, and to cap off a legacy, not only with a Super Bowl win, but just the, you know, Ed Reed tackle, Frank Gore, 5-yard line, first and goal. With the way Kaepernick was running the pistol offense, you kind of knew. You expected a Kaepernick run to the right or left or up the middle, and you knew that he was going to get another touchdown. And I already knew it. And then after the first play, I kept saying, no weapon. We're going to rise, no weapon, no weapon. And if anybody listens to the game sound, when that third down call, when it was fourth down, Ray kept saying, one more play, we got this, one more play. And just the play calling series in general, the coverages, and how about Jimmy Smith coming up making a play with Michael Crabtree catching it? He just whacked him and knocked the ball out. It's just that was a defensive stand to show you that we've all come together. The offense led us, but the defense kind of closed the game out. And like I said all along, defense are going to win you championships, and it showed with a 3-point win.
Yeah, you know, the blackout was definitely a turning point in the game, and
absolutely,
there was so much, you know, so much controversy over that, saying that, you know, the 49ers did that on purpose and this, that, whatever. And it's fun to have that kind of conversations, but as that blackout happened, I'm like, this is not good. This is the 49ers are getting a second wind here. They're given a chance to kind of rest and look at our game and then come back and try to fix it. And I was like, and we do have a few older players, a few veterans, so these guys, you know, who got their adrenaline up, it's going to be hard to keep that adrenaline going when you're waiting and waiting and waiting for this game to start up again. I was ticked off that it happened, but I knew that the defense and the offense were going to be able to play and to keep that lead going, and they were going to play smart football against this 49ers team. But the 49ers definitely, you know, they didn't give up at all. They didn't give up easily. There was definitely a fight in them. They are a fourth quarter team, so that you can always expect them to kind of come back at the end of the game to try to win it. There is no in their vocabulary. So they were a great opponent for the Ravens, and I think this was one of the best Super Bowls in the last few years. And I'm not just saying that because I'm a Ravens fan, but I'm just saying that there was a lot of suspense. There's a lot of things you couldn't believe happen, and it was an absolutely great game. One guy I do want to talk about on the defense, we bring him up every single week. Last week I said he was going to have a big game. Kerry Williams, he's had a lot of great plays in the Super Bowl, but the dude is lucky that he actually got to finish the Super Bowl, because he got a little scrum with one of the guys from the 49ers, and he pushed a referee. Now, if this was like hockey or something, he would have been ejected from the game, and I am shocked that they did not eject him for after he shoved a ref. So he's got to be happy with the fact that that was kind of let it slide. I guess because it was such a big game, they were just going to let these guys play.
You're right, and I noticed that. And you're kind of, and I wouldn't say lucky, but I kind of like the way the refs held the game. I think a total was like 8 or 9 penalties total in the game. And I heard that this kind of referee crew, especially head referee Jerome Bugger, I think they were below the league average for penalties. And with the biggest game, and with some little nuances, I know I was getting sick of it with the national media getting beaten as like a dead horse, but with the whole, oh, there was no holding call in that last play, you cannot throw. A lot of analysts, you know, the paid analysts, I should say, because we're all analysts apparently, right? But the so-called experts were saying that you cannot throw a flag on that play, no referee in their right mind, unless it's blatant. They're not going to throw, if it's a borderline, they're not going to reach in that pocket. You don't want to be that guy. You want to be that guy you're going to throw a flag on, even if it hurts our team or if it helps our team, whoever we're rooting for. If you're not rooting for the Ravens or rooting for the Niners, whoever the teams are, it could even be Cowboys or Patriots, who cares? You cannot throw a flag in that situation unless it was blatant on the one where the guy basically accosted Torrey Smith, where he had him like on bar and was about to arrest him. It's just, unless it's like that, you cannot. I mean, both the players initiated contact. Michael Crabtree pushed them away on the helmet. It just those little kind of calls. I mean, there was a, like the roughing the kicker could have been a questionable best rule, but I would say 90% of the time that's going to be thrown in a regular season game because, yeah, he rolled, he ran into the kicker. It just sucks that he missed the field goal. And that was a topic going into the game, how David Akers was shaky going into the game. Anyway, it was like, oh, he just missed the 30-something yard field goal. And then, of course, it was after the blackout where every little thing went their way. So it was like, great, here we go. And you could have called a case where Flacco got hit late out of bounds. And you could have called a couple little things here and there, but I want to go back and make a lighthearted comment. I don't know if, speaking of the referees, how about when the lights came back on? I was rolling. I don't know if anybody recalls this, where he goes, head referee Jerome Bugger goes, "We got the Ravens, we got the 49ers, let's go." I about lost it. I said, "Let's go." That was probably one of the best things ever in a Super Bowl. I mean, all around, it was great, man. It was great. But you bring up a good point. You know, there was some questionable calls either way, but for the most part, it was a clean game, and I loved it. because it wasn't, you know, that flag happy fest where it was like, oh, he got hit in the head. There was no unnecessary roughness penalties. Everybody kept hits clean. I was very happy about that. It was more physical, I think, in the AFC divisional and championship games, because that's technically, wouldn't say it's our uncalled rivals, if you would say, because we had to beat them to get to the Super Bowl. It was more physical. We laid the wood in Denver. We laid the wood in New England. I think in the Super Bowl, we kind of played a sort of finesse game. We still had the physical part because we took it to them physically a little bit, but when it was sent down, it was more like it was finesse plays. And it showed in the scoring. It wasn't like, you know, Ray Rice, you know, broke a couple of tackles or Bernard Pierce ran into somebody, or Vontae Leach pulled somebody over. There wasn't really any big hits. I mean, and I kind of like that, and especially in the Super Bowl where they're all preaching safety. You didn't want to see somebody's head get cleaned off, even if it was our player or 49er player.
Right, and I do like the fact that the refs kind of just let them play. It made it for a better Super Bowl. It definitely did. It was a fair game, and the 49ers, the San Francisco, and the 49ers coach, I mean, they can say as much as they want, holding should have been on that last call, holding, but your team shouldn't have to fight for a penalty in order to try to win the game. All right, if you would have played a full game, then I think you guys could complain about that. But the 49ers didn't show up until after the blackout was over, and the Ravens were
funny. Yeah.
Right, the Ravens were going to town on these guys. So if you want to say anything out there saying, "Oh, it was holding," you know, we should have given that, we should have been given that, this, that, whatever, shouldn't have been that close if you guys were that great. I mean, you should not be, you know, worrying about what the refs are going to do. You should have been able to get the score up to where it's supposed to be, but didn't do it.
Especially when the ball was thrown way out of bounds because Colin Kaepernick was pressured by the Ravens' rush. If he had held on the ball for another second, he would have been crunched in the turf. And he just had to get rid of it and chucked it up. You can't really call that. And the play after that, how about the awareness and I did look at the replays. I watched this game on replay already three times. I mean, obviously, I'm not going to defend our boys because I even saw it. I was like, I'm surprised they didn't call it. But how about the awareness of Sam Cook running around the end zone and the 49ers not really rushing him and allowing him to run the 6, 7, 8 seconds off the clock? But I seen a couple of questionable Raven holds they could have called there. One Raven basically hugged the 49er, but you can't really, you can assess that, but obviously it was crazy. He was running around back in the end zone. At worst, they could have, you were going to call safety anyway, so they just would have kept the more seconds on the clock, but it's all said and done. It adds up. Ravens are Super Bowl 47 victors, and couldn't go any better down in the history books from the beginning of the playoffs from now. Ray announcing his retirement, how we won in Denver, the last playoff game against the Colts, our former team, the new era with Andrew Luck. We played Peyton, we beat Peyton, we beat Tom Brady, Flacco outplayed everybody. And how about Joe Flacco? I saved the picture. Not only Super Bowl MVP, but he tied NFL record in the Super Bowl or in the playoffs and in the Super Bowl. He won the Super Bowl, Super Bowl MVP, and he's on a list with Joe Montana. Just take this in, Brandon, the fans. Just take this in perspective. I'm about to spit off some names here, and Flacco's name's in the same sentence. Joe Flacco is on a list with Steve Young, Joe Montana, Drew Brees, Phil Simms.
Wow.
Just take that in. And Troy Aikman's on that list as well, believe it or not. They all have Super Bowl trophies, and I think all of them actually are Super Bowl MVPs. And Flacco was on that list because he tied, and I really wish he got a touchdown in the second half to break the record, but he tied and a playoff Super Bowl, whatever you call it, record with at least 8 touchdowns thrown and no interceptions in the playoffs and Super Bowl victors, and he tied that list with 11. He had 3 first-half touchdowns. He had 8 going in. So he's on the list already because it's with at least 8 or more. Aikman has 8, I think, or Simms has 8. Someone has 8, and obviously Steve Young and Joe Montana at 11, and Flacco's tied with those 3. And it's kind of ironic how cool fitting is that it was against the 49ers who Steve Young and Joe Montana played for and who won all the Super Bowls. And how about the 49ers losing their first Super Bowl in franchise history? Now they're 5-1. That was the whole storyline, how the whole franchise in general hasn't lost the Super Bowl. Neither are the Ravens, because they won the first and only. Now the Ravens are still undefeated in Super Bowls 2-0. I was making fun of some Patriot fans. I mean, I had a lot of fan bases text me. The Eagles fan base text me, congratulations, we're rooting for your Ravens. I actually had a Steelers fan say, your boys look good. And they're actually, can't wait till next year. It's going to be a good division. I mean, even Steelers fans were humble and said, you guys look good. You deserved it. What a run. Flacco's great. It was just great to see that people weren't crapping on the Ravens. Like, oh, they got lucky. Everybody was like, they basically just shot the naysayers. And we're like, wow, hey, you guys are champions. We can't really say nothing. And that just shows you that instead of trash talking, let the players do it. And they showed it in true form. Team of Destiny, you can say it over again. But, wow, it's just epic, man. It's just epic to be a part of it.
Yeah, this has been such a great feeling. It's great that the Ravens won. It was a great feeling when the clock finally wind down and the confetti started dropping. I had a Maryland flag draped over my shoulders. Went out onto Bel Air Road, started waving it as cars were driving by, screaming "Best in the world" at the top of my lungs. And
wow, that's awesome.
Yeah, the whole play, like everybody came outside and was just jumping up and down and having a great time. Everybody was hugging. Such a great feeling. And it was an amazing feeling. It had to be in New Orleans. Fans came onto the field and got to grab some of that confetti and everybody. I think that was one of Ray Lewis's sayings. We're here to see the confetti drop, and that's what it did. That's what they fought for. And amazing feeling. The Baltimore Ravens should be so proud of what they're doing. And as an organization, they're already planning ahead to next season. A lot of the guys are taking some much needed vacations. But the weirdest thing that I saw today was they released a picture of Ray Lewis's locker cleaned out and his name taken down. So I think it got real for a lot of people at this point that he's done and that he's going to be moving on to other things and going to retire from the Ravens. So it's definitely something that is sad to think about, but what a way to go out on top. That's the way you want to do it.
What a way to go out indeed. And obviously we'll get to that later, fans, as we said a couple shows before, in prior shows, that we're going to tribute Ray Wright and give him a podcast dedicated to just Ray, his 17-year career, 2 Super Bowls, Super Bowl MVP. Can't say enough about the guy. And it was weird seeing a picture of that in his locker and next to Ray Wright's locker, and it's gone. And Aaron Baltimore has ended. And speaking of that, getting lost in this all, and getting lost in the whole weekend, just, I even told somebody I could have died Monday and I would have been happy. I could have gone and been happy. Everybody asked me how I felt, and I said, you know how I feel? My spirit ascended into heaven with Ray Lewis at the 50. Everybody cracked up. Just speaking about that, we forgot forgot to mention this, but lost in the Super Bowl. Obviously, the Super Bowl is the most prestigious thing ever for our team and for our city, but how about Jonathan Ogden, man, getting inducted on Saturday night? That's awesome.
Yeah, congratulations to him, of course, and going into the Hall of Fame, and he's going to have a big ceremony later this year, but congratulations to him. He absolutely deserves it. It was great news. It was a great way to start the whole weekend off, a whole purple weekend for these guys.
It was a great way. I mean, I remember celebrating that Saturday night, and I did the weekend great. We celebrated Purple Friday, and then Saturday night we all went rock and bowling. We called it Super Rock and Bowling on Saturday night. We had about 10 to 12 Ravens fans contingent of us. We did it right. We rock and bowled. And believe it or not, I remember texting and tweeting you and tweeting Free State Work. And how it was cool because, like, the whole night we were requesting Raven songs. We did the Seven Nation Army. At midnight, I asked the DJ, can you do Seven Nation Army? He was rocking a Matt Stover jersey. It was great. And he did it too because he was like, third time's a charm. We're going to do it this time. 3 times the AFC title game. We're in Super Bowl. We're going to do it. He was pumped up and ready. The DJ played Seven Nation Army at midnight. He played Hot in Here from Nelly. He did all the Raven songs. He did Where Streets Have No Name. He did them all. And the one at the end of the night, Rock and Bowl, have to do a shout out to Free State, but we played on the show. Remember Raven Nation? He actually played that song at the end of the night. How classic is that?
Oh, that's pretty awesome. That's a perfect way. That's a perfect song. I mean, there's no way that you're not pumped.
No, exactly. And I'm just like, I mean, I got 2 hours of sleep that night. I got home at 2. I was up at 5. And obviously, speaking of that, obviously the festivities during the morning, I really appreciate you coming out. But how did you enjoy the festivities on Sunday morning? How was that experience? Because obviously you've seen my impression firsthand of trying to imitate greatness. How'd you like that?
Well, you really got the crowd going and enjoying it. Everybody was having a good time, but seeing you come out, face paint already, Ray Lewis jersey, and then you get to do the dance, I mean, you got everybody ready for that Sunday, for the entire Sunday. You were the one that kind of got everybody's spirits up and then got everybody going. And, you know, I saw you dance, and I'm like, all right, I'm ready for the Super Bowl. Let's get this going now.
Yeah, my pet. And I appreciate you coming. Anybody, it went, thanks for coming. And he was like, dude, that was awesome. How you feel? And I'm like, and this was after first, obviously, I did both services. He's like, I was so jazzed up. I said, I want to do it again. He goes, you will do it again at the end of the second one. And I'm like, it was just awesome to just do that and be a part of the festivities and how the whole way it was. It was just a great way to start the game, the game day, and just the day and the before with Ogden being inducted. It was just a Ravens party weekend all around. It could be capped off, and what better? It was probably the best 5 days in Baltimore, from, you know, Purple Friday, Super Bowl edition, to Ogden Saturday night, Super Bowl Sunday, enjoying it on Monday. It was hoarse all day trying to talk about it, but couldn't really talk about Super Bowl because I couldn't really talk. And then Tuesday, losing my voice again at the parade and getting emotional and seeing Ray's last dance and seeing the trophy and celebrate. Man, this has been a great ride, and we're going to ride it all summer long, because until the next season turns over in training camp, we're both champs all summer long, bro. And Ravens Nation can celebrate, and they have every right to. We've earned it. It's been a long season, trials and tribulations. And and speaking of that, we're going to roll right into, I forgot to do this. How about passing out some Super Bowl game balls for this one, man?
I guess we should do that on the biggest game of the year.
We should. I mean, we're just not going to give away balls today. I mean, rightfully so. I mean, it's the biggest game of the year. I mean, we did just win something called the Lombardi Trophy.
Right. I think only the best can do that.
Well, let's get to it, man. Let's test out some pigskin.
Well, I mean, I got to say, the first guy you got to think of is the guy that won Super Bowl MVP. You got to give one to Joe Flacco.
What? Whoa. Time out. Joe Flacco's MVP?
He's MVP, and I
love it. It's just, oh, man, you keep saying it again. I love all the haters. But he's still inconsistent. People are going to say what they want, but, man, Flacco MVP. That boy played, he earned it.
I think he's allowed to say that he's elite, I pretty much. Especially
heard ESPN analysts say that this week. I almost fainted. I'm like, whoa, time out, what? He said what? He's elite, what?
I mean,
I didn't know what Skip Bayless said this week. I didn't even get a chance to listen to that yet.
Yeah, I haven't heard that, but like just the names that you've put Joe Flacco's name in with, you know, that's an elite list of people that we were talking about earlier. So Joe Flacco is an elite guy. Of course, he deserves a game ball. Who? Anybody else? I mean, we talked about Jacoby Jones. I think this whole team could get one, and I think, you know, people on the coaching staff should be able to get one. I think guys like O.J. Brigance should be able to get a game ball
God,
for this
yeah.
one.
O.J. was even shown there. It's just everybody gets one. I mean, from Caldwell, I would say, and speaking of game balls, I know we're not game balls and rings are far, but how about hearing the news that Cam Cameron's going to get a ring? I applaud that. As far as bad as we wanted him out of this town a few years ago, and you can kind of see how it worked with Caldwell's development of the offense and letting Flacco call the audibles and let it fly, but it's just he built this team for 5 years. You can't just, you know, ax him and with the connection. How about Cameron getting a ring? I think it's fitting.
Yeah, you know, that's Harbaugh's a great guy. When he brought that up and said that he should get one, I mean, that shows you what kind of guy our coach is, and I completely agree. I think he should get one.
And, rightfully so. He should get one. I mean, you can give one to Kerry Williams and have a bank great game, but he had a great deflection. I mean, you can pass out game balls upon game balls. You can pass out, you know, Flacco definitely gets one. Jacoby Jones, definitely Anquan. Anquan's just, he's a true Raven all around. He almost reminds me of a Mason, where he started his career at one team. He came to our team and just been embraced by the fans and just took over that role of leader with the wide receivers. And he's that vocal leader on the offense. Ray Rice sometimes vocal. Torrey Smith sometimes out there. But Anquan, he just says how it is. You know, when he asks an ASU Keto game, why are you going to win this time? It's different because we're going to win. He just puts that there and says he's got the confidence. He has the Raven swagger. And he just says, Joe, throw it up. I'm going to go get it. He's just tough. And not even that, but just I forgot to go back at this, just reverting back to Super Bowl. How about that throw where Flacco is running to his right on the right sideline? He looks like he's going to throw it out of bounds. He throws a rainbow arc along the sideline. Anquan just comes down with it. Like, are you kidding me? Like, jeez, man.
That was pretty amazing, and I don't know if you saw this or not, but this is kind of interesting. That was almost an identical throw from Joe's college days. Somebody on Reddit, on the subreddit for the Ravens, posted the video, and it's crazy because it's Joe Flacco in college, and it's the exact same play up the sideline, and his wide receiver is just there with his hands open getting the ball down. I mean, it was classic Joe, I guess. Vintage Joe Flacco.
Vintage Joe Flacco, indeed. I love it. I'm just gushing at everything that happened, and rightfully so. The Ravens Nation gets game ball. I'm just listening to the replay, and obviously you pick on the up in these things when you're not watching Super Bowls. Obviously it's loud and we're all cheering and it gets crazy, but I think Ravens Nation is definitely getting a game ball. They get game balls for life. How about, I heard stories from down in New Orleans. The Ravens fans were basically 10-1. It was Purple Friday everywhere. The French Quarter was filled with purple. And how about the ode or national anthem? Not only that, but you can just hear it, especially in that last goal line stand and all that. How about the Seven Nation Army chant filling that stadium? I texted a buddy. He was up in the upper decks in the stadium, and I texted him right for the game because right after the national anthem, he goes, dude, it's epic. He was just like, dude, you have no clue. And he goes, it's next Super Bowl, you have to go. He's like, dude, start saving now. And I said, how is it? He goes, I say right now it's 60-40 Ravens in here. And it looked like it because every time the Ravens did something, you can hear it on the TV. It was more yelling. It almost felt like a home game, but the first defensive stand, you can hear it. And throughout the other, like even during the blackout, you can hear the Seven Nation Army chant. That made me so fired up. It almost made me forget there was a football game. So I was more fired up that the fans were making noise.
Yeah, you know, the fans, there's definitely a huge support. I mean, look at the parade, 200,000 people.
200 grand, bro, 200 grand.
I mean, where else is that going to happen but in Baltimore? That was just
we're a proud city.
We absolutely are. We embrace this this team. The team loves us right back. They invite us to different practices. I mean, they do everything that they can for the fans out there. So, of course, the fans are going to reciprocate right back to that team. So, just a great week overall for the Ravens, for the fans. Super Bowl champions, best in the world. That's what the Ravens are, and no one can take us away from that or take that away from us because they earned it. They earned it. They played their hearts out, and no matter what it was for, everybody had their own reasons for playing, but they played as a team. They played together, and there's only one team left standing at the end of an NFL season, and this year it's the Baltimore Ravens. Pretty amazing stuff right there.
Pretty amazing. Wanted to touch on this, too. Obviously, I wanted to get to that kit. This is going to be the fun part. Being in the Super Bowl, obviously, there was commercials to be had. And I kind of want to get your take on the best and the worst out there and what you thought was pretty funny and what you thought was not so funny and not so cool. And wanted to joke around that. But so what did you think, man? What was your standouts?
Well, let's see. I really liked the Tide ad. That was definitely
one
of
my classic.
Yeah, that was definitely one of my favorites.
Ravens, we've been... Montana land. I said the other day after the victory parade, I was eating a sub, and I said, I wonder if, and I had my Ray jersey on, I was very careful, and I said, I wonder if I spill sauce in this, would it be a picture of Ray's face? Everybody started cracking up.
That was a really good one. I gotta say, the one I liked the least was GoDaddy with the really the hot girl and the nerd, just because the sounds that they were making as they're making out were just disgusting.
Not only that, but I was kind of jealous of them, so I really didn't like that either.
Yeah, I mean, the girl was definitely hot. I liked seeing her. That was
I was like, hey, why am I not in that ad? I mean, come on, that's just wrong.
And what other ones are there? I mean, I felt like it wasn't the greatest year for commercials. I mean, there were one or two that were good, but there weren't a lot that really like stood out to me as like absolute winners, except for that Tide commercial. I thought that was great. All the other ones were kind of okay. I mean, like the Doritos goat one, I guess that was funny. But those two, the GoDaddy ad and the Tide stain ad were my best and worst.
Tide stain was great, man. Obviously, for Ravens Nation, that stands out. I would say my personal favorites. I don't know what they were advertising. Obviously, it's kind of funny because it's like, did it really work? Because I can't remember what product it was. But it was when all the old people were in the nursing home and they got out and they were doing all their shenanigans and causing a ruckus. I thought that was pretty classic. I don't know why I thought it was funny, but I was just rolling. And there was a couple others in there. I actually have to go back and watch them again. But yeah, the Tide one stood out. Oh, the Doritos one was really classic, and then the Wheat Thins one, where the guy was, where the guy was actually sitting there with a night vision guy goes watching his Wheat Thins, and then all of a sudden, like Bigfoot comes in, and some guy comes in and takes his sweet things. I thought that was pretty funny. And yeah, there was a couple of them in there that were just were pretty classic. And I was just pumped up all around. I joked at pregame. I said, the only time I have to go to the bathroom at halftime show because I can't do it during commercial, I'm going to miss something. But
if you went to the bathroom during halftime show, you definitely missed something in Beyonce. I mean, man.
I didn't really watch it, honestly. I was on the phone trying to talk to people with what voice I had left and answering text messages and tweets that I had and really getting involved. I mean, put it this way. I mean, I'm going to give my spin on this. Personal opinion, they should have a better act for the Super Bowl. I know there's, you know, women fans out there, and I'm just going to say this. It's a Super Bowl. It's football. I wouldn't say that, you know, I'm not going to sit here and divide it masculine and feminine here, but I think they should have more football-type bands or football-type performances for the halftime show, not Madonna, not Beyonce, not the Black Eyed Peas. No disrespect, all those are all great acts. I mean, Beyonce has some good hits. Obviously, she looked good on stage, and Destiny's Child came out, but it's just my whole thing is, you know, why not get like an old school classic rock band? Why not put Motley Crue up on stage? Why not put? I mean, I don't know. I'm just throwing some ideas out there. I mean, it's just, you know, you think of football, it's football. It's America's game. It's hard hitting. It's gladiators, and it just, you put a pop star out there. I mean, I know it's the Super Bowl. It's entertainment. It's the Super Bowl. I mean, those two words just hold weight itself. And it's like Beyonce said in an interview, it's a pinnacle of an artist's career. I mean, why not put like an Eminem out there or something? It's just something incredible, crazy. And I'm just throwing ideas out there. But that's my personal thing on the Super Bowl halftime show. So I probably haven't watched it. I really haven't watched a halftime show in years. And I'm telling you right now, I think the Ravens 2000 Super Bowl was probably the best one because they had all these acts. They had Aerosmith. Nelly came out. NSYNC was there. Britney was there. I think they had all just like the main acts like of the mainstream music, and that's how it should have been. It was like a big medley, and it was great.
Well, yeah, everything changed after Nipplegate a few years ago.
You're right. So. And I think they kind of got safer, and that set the trend. So you can thank Janet Jackson and Justin Timberlake for that one. It's just, you know, I don't know. It's just my personal opinion on halftime shows in general. They don't really hold weight to my interest. You know, I usually, you know, being a fan, I was out on my cell phone talking to my dad and talking to some other friends of mine and texting and tweeting and really, and then we were talking about the first half, how, okay, it's going to be a good game, and I kind of got a chance to eat a little bit because obviously during the game I don't really eat much and I'm wound up. So it gave me a chance to chill, but I don't know. It didn't really hold too much weight for me.
Well, I mean, I'm a rock fan through and through, so of course, like, I like to see some rock bands playing, but I mean, Beyonce, man, she looked good. She looked good dancing up on that stage, so I had no problem looking at Beyonce during halftime, because
and there was no question during our lip syncing, was there?
No, none at all, but yeah, she looked good. Yeah. I mean, I think the teams are a little ticked off at her, because it seems like her show may have been the cause for that blackout. But we won't know for sure. But she definitely looked good. She sung her heart out. The pregame, I want to say, a lot of people looked over this, and you don't really hear about it. But for America the Beautiful, we had kids from Sandy Hook Elementary School in Newtown, Connecticut. That was pretty amazing. That was that brought a tear to my eye because these kids have been through so much, and then here they are at the Super Bowl singing their hearts out. I mean, just shows you the strength of America and Americans, and how football brings us all together as well. So that was an amazing performance. I give all the credit in the world to those kids, because everything that they've been through and they're able to do that, I mean, so much courage and so much faith, and absolutely great story there.
Great story indeed, and it was just great all around. And wow, you know, culminates Super Bowl 47, Baltimore Ravens champions. And I just can be more tickled to death, and end of an era for Brady's legacy. And we'll get to his show and everything else in the off season. We got, and we're going to tease our shows coming up, but we have quite an off season because this team's going to have a complete overhaul from Flacco's negotiations to what players are going to keep. Obviously, Ray frees up some space. You know, whatever he's going to do. We have a lot of storylines for the defending champs here going into 2013 off season and getting to. Because obviously we get the first home game, the first game of the kickoff season on September 5th coming up. So the only good thing about, I want to say the only good thing about, because there's nothing better than winning the Super Bowl, and I wish we can do it every year, which we can't. It's a parody about salary cap, Brandon. But here's the thing. How incredible is it that it's already first week of February, and I mean September's that much closer?
Yeah, September.
I'm optimistic, bro.
September's close, and we'll definitely have some shows during the off season. And make sure you follow us on Twitter and you like the Brando Cash Network over on Facebook, so you know when there's new episodes of The Call coming out. Because we're not going anywhere. I think our shows will be scaled back a little bit. It won't be every week, but we're still going to be around. We're still going to have things to talk about. The draft isn't that far away. We're going to be able to talk about that. That's kind of what started the whole The Call last year. The first episode was about the draft.
That was our inaugural episodes, was the almost a year from now draft. So we're going to have to do something and ramp things up. We have a big offseason to cover and just the football news in general. We just can't wait to get to it. Some free agents already happened. We're just going to have to get to it and cover it. So this is going to be a good offseason for the Ravens. And let's see what happens, and let's see if we can get a $100 million quarterback or whatever he's worth. To me, he's priceless because he's our Super Bowl MVP. He's a new leader of this team. He's a new general. And he went to Disney World, so he proved us all wrong. He's got the trophy. And there was nothing better than that image of Flacco holding up that Lombardi trophy. I literally looked at my buddy. I said, I stepped shaking my head. He goes, what? And I said, Joe Flacco's holding the Lombardi trophy. Who would have thought, all right, just time out here. Who would have thought that? Who in the right, and me included, who in the right mind would have thought that after the Flaccoing incident when he threw the pick six at home against the Broncos, who we beat in the playoffs, to go up when the Broncos were up 17-0 at home, who would have thought that Flacco would have been hoisting a Lombardi trophy and having an MVP under his belt and having as many playoff wins as Peyton Manning with 9 and with the records he's tied, and not only with that, It's just, wow. Who would have thought that this team would have been where they were? And obviously, shout out to Ed Reed being a record. He did tie an NFL record with his 9th interception postseason-wise. So congrats to Mr. Two Tickets Paradise himself, which is great. And I just wanted to get that out there. Just who would have thought with this team, with the 3-game losing streak, and being down 7 with 31 seconds left in Denver, and this team just defied all the odds, and they were truly a team of destiny in 2012.
They were a team of destiny, and who knows what'll change in the offseason. We'll just have to see what happens. But what an amazing season. Super Bowl champions. Just such a great feeling for this entire team, for the fans, everything. I mean, just what a great story this year. Josh, have we covered everything from the Super Bowl?
If not, did Mr. Pick Six himself? He's got 2 tickets to paradise. Mr. Ed Reed's got it.
That's right. Now, if you want to hang around with us even during the off season and know what's going on, you can follow me on Twitter at Brando Cash. Josh, he's over on Twitter too at ItalianGQ52. If you want more information about the show, go to Facebook.com/BrandoCash. That's where you get all the information about The Call and all the other shows on the Brando Cash Network. Now, I don't know how you're listening to the show, but there's so many different ways, and whatever's easiest for you, you just go ahead and do that. We're on Stitcher Smart Radio, so if you're on Android or an iPhone or a tablet, anything like that, download the Stitcher app, look up The Call, you can listen. It's streaming, it's free, the app is free, listening to us is free, it's all free, enjoy yourself there. If you have an iPhone or any sort of Apple product in any way, or you use iTunes, you can go into the iTunes store, go to podcast, look up The Call, you can subscribe right there. Whenever there's a new episode of The Call available, it'll get downloaded automatically straight into your iTunes, and it's easy. It's absolutely easy, and again, it's free. And if you're at your desktop and you're at work and you're bored and you want to hear old shows, go over to thecall.podbean.com, and you can hear all the old shows there. We have every single show posted, and you can just click play. Again, it's free, and you get to hear it as many times as you want. And that's the best part. So it's all up to you guys and how you do it. Now, if you want to help out The Call throughout the off season and the new season, easiest thing you can do, write an iTunes review. Let us know what you think of the show. It kind of helps us climb the ladder of the iTunes world. Tell somebody about The Call as well. Facebook, tweet it, Tumblr, Pinterest. I don't know what else is out there. Vine, Instagram, Tout, whatever you use socially on the web, just let people know. Hand them a link. Say, hey, check out The Call. These guys are pretty cool. Super Bowl champion podcast. That's all you got to tell them. And the Ravens are your favorite team. So just let somebody know. Let them know. And now, Josh, this is going to be the last time for who knows how long, but Super Bowl champion Ravens, we're still going to send it out the way we always do. So, Josh, take it away.
we always will send it out, no matter what the circumstance. Super Bowl champs, AFC champs, division title. I want to throw a couple of tidbits out there, fans, for you. Brandon, how about the Ravens in the Super Bowl? This is the first Super Bowl. Obviously, we were wild card winners. Just thinking about this as you're doing your sign-off here. How about this? The Ravens, the first-time Super Bowl champions with a division title. Not only did we have three titles, AFC North champs, AFC champs, Super Bowl champs. That's a trifecta that we want every year, right?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. And I hope we do. I hope me and you will talk outside. Obviously, fans will give us their feedback, but I really hope we're back on the podcast airwaves soon. I want to get back at it because we will have a lot to cover as news breaks with the Ravens, with the contracts and how the team shapes up. We will monitor that. We'll do shows accordingly. And hey, if fans clamor, we might even do some just for the fun of it because it's the call and we can. And here it is, Baltimore Ravens, Super Bowl 47 champions. Let's fly high this all season. Thanks, fans. Thanks, Brandon.
This has been a production of the @BrandoCash Network.